Good afternoon, and thank you for tuning in to Sun Sounds of Arizona. This is your volunteer host, Diana, here with you every Saturday to bring you the news and top stories from the Military Times, your independent news source about your military. So let's start with some of the top stories from the week. This one, aircraft carrier USS Gerald R. Ford arrives in Croatia for repairs. The aircraft carrier USS Gerald R. Ford, which had been deployed in U.S.-Israeli operations against Iran, anchored in Croatia's Adriatic port of Split on Saturday for repairs and maintenance. The Ford, America's newest and the world's largest carrier, was operating in the Red Sea in support of Operation Epic Fury when a non-combat fire broke out in its main laundry room on March 12th, injuring 3 sailors. Nearly 200 sailors were also treated for smoke-related issues, a U.S. official said at the time. The fire took hours to bring under control and had an impact on roughly 100 sleeping berths. The warship has been deployed for 9 months and also took part in operations against Venezuela in the Caribbean prior to arriving in the Middle East. It has been plagued by plumbing problems during its deployment, affecting its nearly 650 toilets. The Ford had temporarily stopped at Sauda Bay on the Greek island of Crete. The government of Croatia, which is a NATO ally of the U.S., approved its arrival earlier this week. The U.S. Embassy to Croatia said in a statement, "During its visit, the USS Gerald R. Ford will host local officials and key leaders to reaffirm the strong and enduring alliance between the United States and Croatia." The carrier, staffed by more than 5,000 sailors, has more than 75 military aircraft aboard, including fighter aircraft like the F-18 Super Hornet, and boasts a sophisticated radar system for air traffic control and navigation. And up next, 12 U.S. troops wounded in Iranian attack on Prince Sultan Air Base. A dozen U.S. service members were wounded Friday in an Iranian missile strike on Prince Sultan Air Base in Saudi Arabia, the Wall Street Journal first reported. Two of the 12 personnel, all of whom were reportedly inside an installation building at the time of the attack, are in serious condition. Attempts to contact U.S. Central Command had not been returned as of publication. Friday's strike, which reportedly damaged multiple U.S. refueling aircraft and involved Iranian drones as well, comes as the U.S. military continues to pour assets into the region. The Pentagon on Wednesday confirmed elements from the 82nd Airborne Division headquarters and a brigade combat team are slated to deploy to the Middle East. The 82nd, based out of Fort Bragg, North Carolina, acts as the Army's rapid response force and is often among the first units sent to respond to emerging crises. U.S. Marines and sailors, with the 31st Marine Expeditionary Unit, which includes up to 5,000 personnel and several warships, are also reportedly heading toward the Middle East, after Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth approved a request from CENTCOM to help curtail Iran's regional attacks. The 11th Marine Expeditionary Unit, part of the Boxer Amphibious Ready Group, has also been rumored to serve as a potential reinforcement. The group deployed in recent weeks and is currently operating in the U.S. 3rd Fleet area of operations in the Eastern Pacific. Marines and sailors with the 11th MEU carried out a large-scale amphibious assault exercise on March 2nd aboard Marine Corps Base Camp Pendleton, California, prior to steaming toward open water. 13 service members have been killed in action and nearly 300 wounded during Operation Epic Fury, a joint undertaking by U.S. and Israeli militaries against the Islamic Republic that began on February 28th. The majority of the wounded have since returned to duty, according to U.S. Central Command. Prior to Friday's attack, 10 U.S. troops remained in serious condition. Now to follow that up. The U.S. uses hundreds of Tomahawk missiles on Iran, alarming some at the Pentagon. Now, before we begin, we have to note that this is a developing story. The U.S. military has fired over 850 Tomahawk cruise missiles in 4 weeks of war with Iran, burning through the precision weapons at a rate that has alarmed some Pentagon officials and prompted internal discussions about how to make more available. The Washington Post reported this on Friday, citing people familiar with the matter. Reuters could not immediately verify the report. The White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt said in a statement to Reuters, "The U.S. military has more than enough munitions, ammo, and weapons stockpiles to achieve the goals of Operation Epic Fury laid out by President Trump and beyond." As for comment, the Pentagon, which Trump had ordered renamed Department of War, said the military had all it required. Chief Pentagon spokesman Sean Parnell said in a statement to Reuters, "The Department of War has everything it needs to execute any mission at the time and place of the president's choosing, and on any timeline." And in other news, the U.S. deploys uncrewed drone boats in conflict with Iran. The United States has deployed uncrewed drone speedboats for patrols as part of its operations against Iran, the Pentagon said, the first time Washington has confirmed using such vessels in an active conflict. The deployment of the vessels, which can be used for surveillance or kamikaze strikes, has not been previously reported. It comes despite a series of setbacks in the U.S. Navy's years-long effort to field a fleet of uncrewed service vessels. Reuters reported this last year. Uncrewed vessels have risen to prominence in recent years after Ukraine used explosive-laden speedboats to inflict significant damage on Russia's Black Sea Fleet. Iran has used sea drones to attack oil tankers in the Gulf at least twice since the U.S. and Israeli began strikes nearly a month ago. There was no indication the U.S. has used uncrewed vessels for offensive strikes. In response to Reuters' questions, Tim Hawkins, a Pentagon spokesperson for Central Command, said unmanned vessels built by Maryland-based Black Sea, known as the Global Autonomous Reconnaissance Craft, or GARC, had been used for patrols as part of the U.S. campaign against Iran, dubbed Operation Epic Fury. U.S. forces continue to employ unmanned systems in the Middle East region, including surface drone assets like the GARC. This platform in particular has successfully logged over 450 underway hours and more than 2,200 nautical miles during maritime patrols in support of Operation Epic Fury, Hawkins said in a statement. Navy struggles with drone boats. The U.S. has for years been trying to build a fleet of autonomous, uncrewed surface and underwater vessels as a cheaper and faster alternative to manned ships and submarines, particularly to counter China's growing naval power in the Pacific. The effort, however, has fallen behind schedule and been dogged by technical problems, cost concerns, and a series of testing setbacks. Last year, Reuters reported the GARC, an angular speedboat about 5 meters long, was involved in multiple performance and safety issues, including one where it collided with another boat at speed during a military test. In recent weeks, during another failed test in the Middle East, one GARC boat became inoperable, according to a source who is briefed on the matter. Hawkins declined to comment on the testing setbacks. Now let's shift gears to a couple of stories that are a little closer to home, beginning with this one. The feds sue towing company for allegedly illegally auctioning off troops' cars, including many towed from base. The Justice Department has filed suit against a California towing company for allegedly illegally auctioning off service members' vehicles, many of which have been towed from Marine Corps Base Camp Pendleton. Justice officials allege that SNK Towing Incorporated of San Clemente, California, violated the Service Members Civil Relief Act by selling or disposing of as many as 148 vehicles without a court order, even when they knew or should have known that the vehicles were owned by military members. Some of the vehicles were registered to addresses on Camp Pendleton, including rooms in the barracks. In other cases, the company auctioned off vehicles even after being told the owner was in the military, according to justice officials. Some of those vehicles contained military equipment, uniforms, and awards. The lawsuit filed March 25th in federal court in the Central District of California alleges that S&K Towing Incorporated towed hundreds of vehicles from the base from August 28, 2020 through at least April 15, 2025 under a memorandum of agreement with the base to respond to calls for towing services made by the base police department. The alleged illegal auctions or disposals of the vehicles also occurred during that time frame. Justice officials asked the court to rule that the company violated the SCRA, to award appropriate monetary damages to the service members, and take other steps needed for restitution, to order the company to take steps to eliminate future illegal conduct, and to assess civil penalties. And now, this. A war zone, minus the war. 1 year later, has the military really secured the U.S.-Mexico border? This article first appeared on The War Horse, an award-winning nonprofit news organization educating the public on military service, and The Border Chronicle, which produces independent investigative journalism on the U.S.-Mexico border. On a warm winter Sunday, the Playas de Tijuana in Mexico is filled with families picnicking. The beach here presses right up against the border wall with the United States. Music blares, teenagers film TikTok videos next to the 30-foot-high fence, which is covered in painted murals on the Mexican side, butterflies, faces, human hands reaching out. Looking through the slotted wall to the American side, the beach is barren. On the other side of the wall is barbed concertina wire, and then another tall fence also ringed with wire. It's a scene from a war zone, minus the war. In between the two walls, white Jeep pickup trucks with U.S. Marines in full camouflage and battle helmets circle occasionally, watching the beachgoers. As the sun sets, a single Marine slowly walks toward the ocean and back, holding an M38. But for the most part, the no man's land between the walls is empty. Days earlier, armed Border Patrol agents in military fatigues unleashed tear gas canisters on protesters in Minneapolis, 2,000 miles northeast from here. Both the Minnesota National Guard and active duty troops were ordered to prepare to deploy to the city in America's heartland. "We all have been expecting this to happen," said Jacqueline Cordero, who helps organize humanitarian supply drops in the mountains and desert east of San Diego. Basically, the border spreading to the rest of the country. It's been a year since President Trump declared a national emergency at the southern border, but amid far-flung domestic deployments, dozens of deadly Caribbean boat strikes, and now a war in Iran, the U.S.-Mexico border has in many ways become a forgotten emergency, a military buildup that persists, as others have before it, long after public attention has turned elsewhere. Trump campaigned on the southern border, painting a picture of a region overrun with violent criminals. On Inauguration Day in January 2025, he declared the magnitude of the crisis required a military response. The resulting deployment, more than 20,000 troops in the past year from the most expensive fighting machine on the planet, has no end in sight. "Our job, our role here on the border is to gain full operational control," said Lieutenant Colonel Max Ferguson, who directed Joint Task Force Southern Borders operations through September of last year, "detect, respond, interdict, and ensure that nobody is doing illegal crossings from south to north into the United States." So, have they? Quote, "Today, the number of illegals crossing into our country is zero," Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth said in December. His math was off by thousands. This February, the government recorded 9,621 encounters with people illegally crossing the southern border, an average of more than 300 a day. That's still a 90% decline since President Biden's last full month in office, but it's about the same as it was in February of 2025. The first full month after Trump's inauguration, and has not changed dramatically in the months before or after the military deployment reached full capacity over the summer. While most of the country has moved on, the unprecedented military response to Trump's national emergency at the southern border has quietly continued in tandem with the Department of Homeland Security. The War Horse and the Border Chronicle teamed up to examine how Trump's pledge to secure the border has turbocharged the militarization of the 1,954-mile frontier in the last 14 months. The administration has transformed more than 40% of the border from public land into no-trespassing military zones, with new additions as recently as February. It has expanded an invisible surveillance network that monitors the wilderness and border communities, and ramped up the Department of Defense's sharing of military-grade equipment and technology with U.S. Customs and Border Protection. It has begun installing the first stretch of hundreds of miles of sensor-enabled orange buoys, each nearly 5 feet in diameter, to create a barrier dividing Texas Rio Grande. And it has quadrupled the number of troops while freeing up federal border agents to shift their focus to America's cities as the battle over what Trump has called the invasion moved to Los Angeles, then D.C., then Chicago, and Minneapolis. Trump sent the military to the border to seal it, promising a show of force. But as deadly encounters over immigration enforcement ramped up in U.S. cities, many residents along the border said the military's presence has been more show than force. The rollout. What is this, the Middle East? Jerry Pacheco remembers a year ago when the military first stood up Joint Task Force Southern Border to oversee President Trump's military border buildup. "I recruit companies from all over the world," said Pacheco, who heads the Border Industrial Association, an advocate for manufacturers on the New Mexico-Mexico border. "I had a Polish EV battery company come down, and they're looking at setting up over here. And they saw the strikers, two military personnel attached to the striker, and they said, 'Man, look at that. What is this, the Middle East?'" Actually, it was just outside neighboring El Paso, Texas. The 2nd Striker Brigade Combat Team, 4th Infantry Division, had arrived from Fort Carson, Colorado, to help patrol the Border Patrol's central sectors along the southern border, from Big Bend, Texas, to Tucson, Arizona. The backbone of a Striker Brigade combat team is the Striker itself, an 8-wheeled armored vehicle built to withstand mines and IED attacks, as it carries infantry squads in combat at speeds up to 60 miles per hour. Now there was a Striker parked on a landfill overlooking the Sunland Park Elementary School. The military buildup at the border was swift. 2 days after Trump's inauguration in January 2025, the Pentagon ordered 1,500 troops to deploy. That same day, it announced it would use military planes for deportation flights and quickly began ramping up airborne intelligence gathering along the border. Military police battalions from New York, Kentucky, and Washington, and engineering units from Georgia and Kansas boarded cargo planes to fly to the border. By the end of the week, Marines, some of whom had been helping to fight wildfires in California, were installing the concertina wire along the double fence between Tijuana and San Diego. About a month later, another 3,500 troops were activated. Military planners scrambled for places to house the incoming soldiers. Troops have stayed at hotels in small towns and crammed into rundown barracks at military outposts like the Doña Ana Range Complex, where an Inspector General report detailed raw sewage leaking from the plumbing, and Fort Bliss, where inspectors found as little as 45 square feet of living space per soldier. To officially stand up Joint Task Force Southern Border, the Defense Department called on soldiers from the 10th Mountain Division, a rapidly deployable infantry unit from Fort Drum, New York, trained in mountain and cold weather warfare. By the summer, more than 10,000 troops were deployed to the border. About 9,000 remain there today, according to Joint Task Force Southern Border, despite the escalating number of conflicts and operations in the Middle East, South America, and Africa. Many Trump supporters point to the dwindling number of illegal border crossings as sign of the mission's success. "If you got a cop sitting on the corner in a police car, nobody's going to rob the bank," says Frank Antonori, a county supervisor in Cochise County, Arizona, and former Army Green Beret. But others like Pacheco worry the growing military presence sends a signal to investors that the area is not safe, even though migrant crossings have plummeted to near all-time lows. "It's pure political show for people that are not from the border," said Pacheco, who failed to land the Polish EV battery company, though because of tariffs, not the military. The striker near the elementary school outside El Paso remained parked there for months. Ferguson said that visible troops' presence has been an important deterrent to migrant crossings, that someone seeing a military vehicle and choosing not to cross is a victory. Between October 2024 and September 2025, immigration officials recorded about 92,000 turnbacks, instances in which someone enters the U.S. but then immediately turns around at the southern border. That's around 9,000 fewer than the previous year. People in communities along the border say they are seeing far fewer migrants than they did before Trump took office, but they also say they're not seeing many soldiers. The border is nearly 2,000 miles long. There might be people in fatigues eating at Burgers and Beer in El Centro, California, said Kelly Overton, who runs Border Kindness, a humanitarian aid organization. But does it feel like, hey, the military has come here and taken over? No. The military has emphasized that its southern border mission is in support of customs and border protection, and says troops conducted nearly 3,000 joint patrols with CBP over the past year. But as the military sent reinforcement troops south to the border, Border Patrol agents led by Greg Bovino, the hardline chief at the time of CBP's El Centro sector, east of San Diego, headed north, away from the border. We're taking this show on the road, Bovino said in September, to a city near you. National defense areas, declared a restricted area. Of all the places one might expect to see the military, it's in the town of Columbus, New Mexico, just north of the border. Last April, the U.S. Department of the Interior announced it was turning over more than 100,000 acres of land in New Mexico along the Mexican border to the Department of Defense to create a national defense area, essentially an annex of a military base. There, troops would be authorized to arrest migrants or anybody else who happens to stumble into the area, bypassing the Posse Comitatus Act, which prohibits the military from directly participating in civilian law enforcement. Now, Columbus is abutted by a confusing patchwork of new military-controlled land. But town leaders say they never heard from the Defense Department about what the nearby National Defense Area meant. Nobody has really said anything, says Norma Gomez, a co-chair of the Chamber of Commerce in Columbus. Residents have not seen many troops. The only tank in town is a replica from the Mexican Revolution at Pancho Villa State Park. Philip Skinner, the town's mayor, says, "We've not really seen any evidence of anything out here." Occasional red and white signs near town are the only indication of a military takeover. Warning, they say in English and Spanish, this Department of Defense property has been declared a restricted area. Photographing or making notes, drawings, maps, or making graphic representations of the area or its activities are prohibited. The New Mexico National Defense Area was just the beginning. Over the last year, the Pentagon has established 6 separate national defense areas in all 4 border states, turning more than 800 miles of previously public land, about 42% of the U.S.-Mexico border, into military zones. Some are controlled by bases hundreds of miles away. While the New Mexico National Defense Area stretches inland more than 3 miles in places, most of the other zones are just 60 feet wide, enough to ensure a migrant crosses directly onto military land, which carries additional criminal charges and permits soldiers to make those arrests. But the U.S. government can already file misdemeanor charges for illegally crossing the border, says David Lindenmuth, a former federal prosecutor in South Texas, and it becomes a felony after multiple crossings. So why in the world are you going to do all of this other mess just to get 2 other ways to prosecute the same person for misdemeanors? The tactic, he says, is like using a cannon to shoot at a mosquito. By the end of February, the Justice Department had lodged charges related to trespassing on military property in close to 5,000 cases. But as of mid-March, the Defense Department said that military troops have arrested only 68 people in national defense areas, meaning the vast majority of migrant arrests in the militarized zones have been by Border Patrol agents. Customs and Border Protection said it did not track arrests in national defense areas and could not comment on what happened on military property. Attempts to prosecute people on the additional charges around trespassing on military land have struggled in courts, with judges in New Mexico and Texas throwing the charges out. The people being prosecuted there have no idea in most cases that this is going to be essentially a military installation, says Cesar Cuauhtemoc Garcia Hernandez, a law professor at Ohio State. The red and white signs that troops and military contractors have been installing near the defense areas are small, spaced far apart, and sometimes only face Mexico. Otherwise, there's little to stop someone from accidentally wandering onto a military base, and their locations have not always been exact. In November, the Mexican government announced it had removed 6 signs from a Mexican beach near the mouth of the Rio Grande that that declared the land restricted U.S. military property. While the boundaries of most military installations on U.S. soil are available on government maps, that's not the case with national defense areas. Reporters at the War Horse and Border Chronicle spent weeks being shuffled from agency to agency and from the military's Joint Task Force Southern Border to individual branches in search of maps that no one supplied. To create maps of the national defense areas, we pieced together bureaucratic land survey transfer notices in the Federal Register and information from the International Boundary and Water Commission. James Holman and Abby Carpenter, who run Battalion Search and Rescue, a group that searches for lost migrants in the desert, say they've seen the signs as they work in New Mexico. They don't always match the boundaries they've mapped out for themselves. Other groups like hunters and hikers have also raised concerns. The starting point of the 2,600-mile-long Pacific Crest Trail, which stretches from the Mexican border to the Canadian border, now falls within a national defense area. For decades, hikers began the trek north by touching the border wall. The Pacific Crest Trail Association recently informed hikers that they could access the official southern starting point, a small, gray stone monument. But under no circumstances could they touch the wall, just feet away, and now ringed with concertina wire. The military bases administering the defense areas say that hunters and campers can apply for permits to access the land. But Sherman Neal II, who helps run the Sierra Club's military outdoors program, which works to bring veterans into the wilderness, says that's not the point. The point of the great outdoors, he says, is to get away from it all. He says, if I'm choosing to go recreate somewhere, you know what? I probably don't need to be in the vicinity of CBP, the Army, or DHS. Federal agents' killings of U.S. citizens Renee Good and Alex Preddy would lead to a reckoning. Back in Arizona, Frank Antonori, the Cochise County supervisor and former Green Beret, says there's a price that's worth paying for security. James Cordero isn't buying it. He and his wife Jacqueline have been leading hikes for years to drop food, water, and supplies in the mountains east of San Diego. They bring in the military. They say the border's closed 100%, Cordero said, and that's why Border Patrol can go into the interior. It's the illusion of national security. Well, that's all for today's recording of the Military Times. I want to say thank you once again for tuning in to Sun Sounds of Arizona. This is your host, signing out.